This does not mean that when we are outside our areas of passion and experience, our reactions are invariably wrong. It just means that they are shallow. They are hard to explain and easily disrupted. They aren't grounded in real understanding. Do you think, for example, that you can accurately describe the difference between Coke and Pepsi? It's actually surprisingly difficult. Food tasters like Seville and Heilman use what they call a DOD, degree of difference scale, to compare products in the same category. It goes from 0 to 10, where 10 is for two things that are totally different, and 1 or 2 might describe just the production range differences between two batches of the same product. Wise and Lay's salt and vinegar potato chips, for instance, have a DOD of 8. Oh my God, they are so different, says Heilman. Wise is dark and Lay's is uniform and light. Things with a DOD of 5 or 6 are much closer, but still possible to tell apart. Coke and Pepsi, though, are only of 4, and in some cases the difference may be even less, particularly if the colas have aged a bit and the level of carbonation has decreased and the vanilla has become a little more pronounced and pruny. This means that if we are asked to give our thoughts on Coke and Pepsi, most of our answers aren't going to be very useful. We can say whether we like it. We can make some vague and general comments about the level of carbonation or flavor or sweetness and sourness. But with a DOD of 4, only someone schooled in colas is going to be able to pick up on the subtle nuances that distinguish each soft drink. I imagine that some of you, particularly those who are die-hard cola drinkers, are bristling at this point. I'm being a bit insulting. You think you really do know your way around Pepsi and Coke. Okay, let's concede that you can reliably tell Coke from Pepsi even when the DOD hovers around 4. In fact, I urge you to test yourself. Have a friend pour Pepsi into one glass and Coke into another and try to tell them apart. Let's say you succeed. Congratulations. Now, let's try the test again in a slightly different form. This time, have your tester give you 3 glasses, 2 of which are filled with one of the colas and the third with the other. In the beverage business, this is called a triangle test. This time around, I don't want you to identify which is Coke and which is Pepsi. All I want you to say is which of the 3 drinks is not like the other 2. Believe it or not, you will find this task incredibly hard. If 1,000 people were to try this test, just over 1/3 would guess right, which is not much better than chance. We might as well just guess. When I first heard about the triangle test, I decided to try it on a group of my friends. None of them got it right. These were all well-educated, thoughtful people, most of whom were regular cola drinkers, and they simply couldn't believe what had happened. They jumped up and down. They accused me of tricking them. They argued that there must have been something funny about the local Pepsi and Coke bottlers. They said that I had manipulated the order of the 3 glasses to make it more difficult for them. None of them wanted to admit the truth. Their knowledge of colas was incredibly shallow. With 2 colas, all we have to do is compare 2 first impressions. But with 3 glasses, we have to be able to describe and hold the taste of the first and then the second cola in our memory, and somehow, however briefly, convert a fleeting sensory sensation into something permanent. And to do that requires knowledge and understanding of the vocabulary of taste. Heilman and Seville can pass the triangle test with flying colors because their knowledge gives their first impressions resiliency. My friends were not so fortunate. They may drink a lot of cola, but they don't ever really think about colas. They aren't cola experts, and to force them to be, to ask too much of them, is to render their reactions useless. Isn't this what happened to Kenna?